Well, good afternoon. Hope you're enjoying the conference in New Orleans. This part is to go over what you as an investigator, the process of your actually writing the grant proposal. So this is kind of the meat and potatoes. You've gotten examples of successful projects. You've seen kind of how those projects have been put together from an integrated perspective and the review process. And now I'm going to go over your mindset about putting a proposal together. I'm going to go over two parts. The first part is looking at what is on our website, because we have detailed instructions and information that you should certainly review in detail, specifically to integrated projects. When you go to our website, and it is www.csres.usda.gov, you'll see at the top the funding opportunities, and this will link you to the different programs for funding within the agency. In those under the funding opportunities, if there's many different types of funding activities within the agencies. So particularly related to the integrated programs, you can go directly to this link, csres.usda.gov/funding/integrated/integrated, that will take you directly to the integrated page for that information. You can go back if you don't want to go through the whole thing, you want to just kind of peruse the website more extensively. If you use the first, just csresusda.gov, going to funding opportunities, then you can go to integrated programs, and it kind of gives you just more detailed background. But if you're just specifically interested in integrated, you can go to this website. Going to that website, you'll see at the top program details. Now, the program details has program synopsis and topic areas. The program synopsis gives a description and definition of integrated programs. What are the different, kind of an overview of the different types of integrated programs, both the 406 and the NRI specifically. What's the background of why and what we're trying to support through the integrated process. And the topic areas list the specific individual programs that are supporting integrated programs. So you can see all the different kind of programs that you could apply to, and then you can select from that menu the topic that you're interested in. Also, there's a section on application resources. This is very important when you get after you've selected the program that would fit your research or education or extension interest. The application resources would be the next step to finding out how do you actually go about putting together a proposal. And you'll see that there's how to apply. It was mentioned earlier that all of our proposals now go through the electronic grants process. Competitive funding opportunities, workshops, it'll list all. We have workshops throughout the country, at least two a year, one in Washington and then one out in the States. So you're kind of getting a mini version of that here today. But if you want to tell your colleagues or if you want to attend another one, we would list our workshops on the website. General grant writing tips for success, I'm going to go into that in some more detail. Tips for developing and implementing integrated projects. Because integrated proposals are a little bit different, what we're asking you for, the information in there, than the research projects. So even if you've submitted research proposals in the past, you kind of have to change your mindset, because we're asking for more information on multiple components, not just the research components. And you will be reviewed on the information you provide on these additional components. So you really do have to change your approach and the information that is provided. One thing I want to highlight is the logic model planning process. All of our integrated proposals within the National Research Initiative this year require logic models. And the reason for it, so this is new, so I just really want to highlight this, because even if you've applied to integrated proposals before, that was not requested, now it is. And the reason for this is to kind of help you, your stakeholders, all of the, your collaborators, to kind of come together during that proposal writing process and determining what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And it provides a logical mechanism to put together, in essence, all the different aspects that we're going to require you to write about, both from what you're doing all the way to what are the expected outcomes and impacts. If you've not done a logic model, we do have that information of how to put that together on our website. Examples of integrated proposals, I'll go speak to that some more, and additional resources for applicants. So here's a whole wealth of information. Even if you've applied before, I would suggest going to this, refresh your background information on how to do this, and to apply to integrated proposals. And if you are new, first-time integrated applicants, certainly review all this information. I mentioned tips for developing proposals. I would go over this because it goes over all the different components or parts that you're going to be asked to respond to. It explains at the top the different types, what is, and you've seen this before, what is research, what is education, what is extension. Pretty much we all understand what research are, but the definition of extension and educational, what we're asking for, what kind of work we're looking to fund in these areas, are a little different than just the traditional, being an extension agent is and extending the information that you traditionally weigh in the traditional methods is not really what we're asking for. That can be part of it, but we're asking you go beyond that. So you really want to look at these definitions to find out what the NRI is thinking about when we use these terms. And then it goes through the other parts that you will need to respond to. So go to the tips and I'll find out what it should be as part of the proposal. We also have, and here's the logic model example. So again, if you've not done a logic model before, this is on our website, an explanation how to do it. There also is an example of an integrated proposal. Now, I say sometimes this is good and this is bad. People may get hung up on, oh, here's the example, I have to do exactly this way, using these same words, etc. No, this is just an example of a typical successful proposal. You should then use that example then to put your information in your terminology and the richness of your specific proposal. This just gives you an example. It is not the only example. And also, each program will have funded projects listed so you can go and actually see what has been funded and what has been the description of those proposals on the website under the specific programs. I just want to reinforce that all information from today's workshop will be posted, and also if you haven't gotten your CD, people have come and gone all throughout the day. Kim has these, and please get this, because then it's a handy CD with the proposal application process and information on that CD. Okay, so that's our website and what's available as resources to you in the application process. So how do you begin? You're going to put the proposal together. You've heard from our presenters today that it is kind of a complex process. You're looking at generally multidisciplinary, multi-institutional in many cases. So for example, one of my programs, the due date for the letters of intent has passed, and people go, oh, well, you know, I don't have to pay attention to this for about another year. I would say, oh, no, no, no. You need to start now to put these groups together. If you already have a collaborative, or if you do have a collaborative, to reinforce, reinvigorate, and then approach these people to write up a proposal. And sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it might only take 2 months, but depending on where you are in the process, you may have a great idea, but you still have to put these people together, bring them together to write. So there's no time like the present to start thinking and processing this information. So you first need to go through the web, identify the available programs in the RFA, and select the one that is appropriate to the work that you want to conduct. You need to look at what you're doing for the relevancy to your interest. Are you eligible? The NRI has a very broad eligibility range. The integrated programs is slightly different just than the traditional research, so make sure that you are eligible. And also, each program has its own deadline date, both for letters of intent, which are generally about 2 months before the full proposal due date. So check those, and through, because this is throughout the year, so you need to match those deadlines. Obtain and read the program material. Look at what we're asking for within each program. And it's been asked several times about contacting the national program leader. I can't overemphasize that that is a great benefit to talk to that person, because you may have an idea, it may fit that program, it may not, and then they can direct you to the right appropriate program, which saves you time in deciding what to do. Then you want to begin with the end in mind. In a sense, this is a backward process compared to research proposals, where you come up with a hypothesis, and then you do the research, and then you find the answer. In integrated, we are looking to accomplish something. It's problem-driven. It's solution-driven. So you almost have to say, this is the results I want to obtain or think I can obtain, and then write the proposal that way. So that's another reason the logic model helps you, because you can put all those pieces together. What is the agricultural issue you're going to address? What is the problem you're going to solve? How will your project help address this issue? So not only in writing it, but also in the review process, we're going to look at what impact are you going to be able to make? What solutions are you going to find? The so what question should be very relevant in your writing, so you can convince those reviewer, yes, this is I'm accomplishing something. I'm coming up with a solution to a imminent agricultural question. What is an impact? Impact is the quantifiable difference a project makes in the quality of life for clients, citizens, or stakeholders. NRI has traditionally been known for basic research. There was a comment about that, particularly in the weed science area. The integrated projects are, again, very problem-solving types of projects. So you want to be able to convince reviewers that you're making a difference on the stakeholders, with the stakeholders, on whoever the clientele that you are impacting. Outputs. What are the project activities that will lead to desired impacts? You're required for integrated projects to have at least two out of the three component areas. It can be research extension, extension education, education research, any combination, or all three. Kim did mention, and I think there was a question about, well, should we have all three? We get this a lot from prospective investigators. And the answer is no, unless it's appropriate. Unless you really are going to be doing something in all three areas, you should select the two minimum of two components that you really are going to work in. If you are legitimately going to do all three, that's fine. But don't just put the third one in to hope to impress the reviewers, because it won't. It will come out looking rather weak, like you've kind of added that in, hoping to get extra points. So put the two minimum that you are actually going to have great impact on and work in, and if you have the third one, that's fine too, but it has to be appropriate. Developing the project, again, start early, putting your collaboratives together, putting your ideas together. Integrated means that the components are overlapping, they're working together. It's not just a research project and then we're going to extend it, or we're going to have some curriculum going on in a classroom. They have to be connected, and that's where the term integrated comes from. In writing your proposal, I think it was mentioned by one of our presenters, you get three pages in from each of your collaborators and you have to go down to one paragraph. So it takes time to putting all these people's ideas and interest into a proposal that works together. Submitting the proposal to your institution for sign-off and electronic submission. Most of the land grant institutions have a grant writing area that will division that can help you in this process. You have to be registered for electronic submission. If you don't have that, then you need to make sure that you or you're not in the university situation. You may need to make sure you are registered to apply. So you need to develop a timeline, and then make sure to check if there's letters of intent that are required. I will say that more and more of the programs are going to letters of intent. So developing a strategic response, what are the knowledge gaps? Why is your idea or interest important? Remember, you're competing that other people think their ideas are just as great. So you have to convince a panel of multidisciplinary reviewers that you have a very innovative idea that's going to accomplish something that's more important than, frankly, the other people that are submitting. Extension, how will you reach those? What are your extension activities? And how will you train the next generation from the educational component? Writing the proposals. All the team members should be involved. You've seen from our presenters today that they've all had people from all disciplines and working together and providing their expertise. It is a team effort in these projects. Represent all the project's function. I've already talked about that you should show the collaboration or interaction between the different components. And from the expenses, it's already mentioned that no particular component should have over 2/3. Even though the budget is not part of the review process initially, the panel members are asked to look at the merit of the project. You know, what's going on, what's being done. They are not specifically, in fact, they're discouraged to look at budget. But they do peek at that, and it's part of the proposal package. And in the end, if there are not resources to support all the components, then that says you're not really doing or supporting each of the components, because you do have financial responsibilities to each of those individual components. Clearly identify your stakeholder community and their involvement in the projects. Letters of support are appropriate because this is a collaborative effort, not only within the institution that you're working in, but the clients external to you that you're supporting. And address the funding program's evaluation criteria, which Kim went over. So do read those criteria, because then you're thinking, this is what the reviewers are thinking about when they're looking at my proposal. And you kind of preempt answering the questions that they're going to be having. Take care in writing the project summary. In the review process, this is the first thing that reviewers see. Also, in the full panel process, if the reviewer is not assigned to your proposal to read the whole thing, if they're part of the committee and they have other proposal responsibilities, they may only read your project summary. So in the full discussion, that is the document they'll be looking at, plus what the other reviewers are telling them. So it's very critical that you explain what you're doing there. It's very concise, and that it convinces, really, from that one page, all the panelists that you should be funded. Read the RFA, read the RFA, read the RFA. I can't overemphasize that. That's a document saying this is what these programs are funding, these are the focus areas that they're going to fund, and what you need to consider in writing. Develop the idea that will fit those requests. Review the abstracts. I've said that each program will show on, if you go to the specific programs, it will show what some of the previous funding has gone for. Write the project description for a particular program, reviewers, and review process. Again, all the different components must be described. When we first originally got integrated proposals in, we would have 17 pages of research information and maybe a paragraph on, say, an extension. This obviously is not a balanced integrated project. Through the years, the proposals have gotten much better, higher quality, and the reviewers are also expecting to understand all the different components. Submit early, complete your paperwork, get signatures, submit early, keeping in mind that there may be some problems with electronic submissions. Always ask a colleague, particularly because these are multidisciplinary, always ask colleagues even outside of your discipline or your group to review. Does it make sense to them? Because remember, the panel is going to be made up of extension agents, educators, researchers from multiple disciplines. So it's got to make sense to a broad range of people. It needs to be technically correct, but it still has to be understandable by people outside of your discipline. It can be high risk and therefore would have high potential. So don't shy away of saying, oh, nobody's going to fund this because it's just too risky. We do fund high risk proposals. You need to sell and convince people that what you want to do is essential and will have high impact. Again, on the electronic submission, confirm with your grants coordinator division that you're registered. Obtain institutional instructions on how to submit. Sometimes that grants division will submit for you. Sometimes you have to do it yourself. Ensure that the files are attached in the appropriate PDF. It has to be in that document format. You will get rejected automatically if it's not in PDF. So you don't want to go through all this work and then just be rejected on technicality. Ensure that the program code and the program code name is spelled correctly and matches what is asked for in the RFA. And this is kind of when you're inputting the information originally. The reason for that, again, if it doesn't get to the right through the right channels to the right program, we don't receive it, and we don't even know you've applied to that program. So, again, it's a technicality, but you don't want to mess up because of that. You have done great work up to this point. Include the conflict of interest list. We have to have that to match who's going to be a reviewer, who should not be a reviewer, and save any email correspondence, because if there is a glitch and you say, yes, I sent it in, we didn't get it, you need to document that. So this is just safeguards for your application process. If a problem does occur, we do have a contact number and email address. There is a help desk, and again, save all information flow either electronically or in written form. If you've not received an acknowledgement for your application in 30 days, I would be concerned. In fact, I'd probably be concerned before that, because they do go through the process fairly rapidly, I would say within a week. So contact us immediately and ask what's going on. Ask for the application number that's signed, and if you don't do that, then it may show up that it doesn't even get to the panel, and if you're asking 6 months later, we can't process it then. It has to be done all sequentially way before that before the panel meets. Successful proposals, again, it engages a reviewer. You have convinced them that you have a high priority proposal. It's easy to read and understand. It should be grammatically correct. It should have appropriate literature review. We often caution on the literature review. Use just enough to convince the reviewers that you have the scientific expertise to do what you're doing, you're current in what's going on and the methods and what you're putting together. But don't just go on and on with the literature review. That does not impress them. Use the specific information that is going to convince them that you know what's what. Clear rationale and objectives, just like a research, typical research program or project, you have to have rationale and objectives to fit the priorities. Clearly state your questions and your learning objectives, communicate the importance of your topic and the contribution that your work will have to the general good of the public. And a detailed project description has research methods, educational program delivery, instructional methods development. Discussion of expected impacts. The panel does go over this in pretty extensively. Well, what's this proposal going to offer? What is the impacts? Discussion of potential pitfalls. Now, this is kind of unusual. We're saying because these are large collaboratives, our presenters mentioned some of the problems they've had, but we want you to acknowledge it, not because we're going to the reviewers will say, oh, we'll see, this is not fundable because they have problems, but it's to acknowledge that you know that you put this collaborative together, this project together, but you're going to have some struggles, and it legitimizes that we understand that and it is acceptable to the reviewers. And dissemination results, how are you going to let us know what's going on and what's happening in your educational programs? critically reviewed by colleagues. That's been gone over. Use feedback from previous panel reviews. I do want to mention, if it's a resubmission, you really need to look at that program description in detail, because they do change from year to year. And just because you're resubmitting and you have that letter that you got back to saying how can you improve, you also may need to tweak that proposal of the current focus and program request, and use evaluation criteria. Follow the submission rules. They're all there in the RFA. Projects of little or no relevance to published program priorities will be not viewed favorably. Insufficient preliminary data or evidence of literature review, poorly written, poor record of results. So you still have to have a high standard of submission to convince the reviewers. Another reason you may get lower ratings is experiments or objectives are not cohesive. Different functions aren't integrated. This is a real high bar to reach. Low scientific merit, basic flaws in your logic. You don't demonstrate a lack, or you don't demonstrate scientific understanding of the area you're working in, or you have no hypothesis, research questions, or learning objectives. It's not innovative. It is highly competitive. You need to show not only why this is important, what the impacts are going to be, but why is it really innovative. Inappropriate methods or methods too vague. Reviewers do go over your methods. They look for technicalities there. Poor evaluation plan of how you're going to succeed, and it's just overall not very exciting. So again, you're convincing these people that you don't know that you have the greatest thing since sliced bread. Decline follow-up, Kim mentioned this a bit. Carefully read the panel summaries and review if you choose to resubmit. Understand what the ranking means. She went over that. If you have questions, contact your panel manager contact the national program leader. We're very open to discussing with us. Kim mentioned we take notes. We do, and we will give you as much feedback as we can in your preparation for resubmission if you so choose. If it's in the fundable category, generally the panel summary will ask you to resubmit. Sometimes they will say, please don't resubmit, and that's a pretty clear message. Guidance regarding the submission from low priorities generally comes from your panel summary. And again, if you have questions, contact us first. And the other, just our PR message to be on a panel, it's probably the best thing that all reviewers say when they subsequently resubmit, that the panel process gives them great insight not only to the review process, but understanding how to write to panels and make it knowledgeable in the panel review process. So send an email to the newsreviewer@csresusda.gov or directly contact the national program leader, and I would suggest actually doing both.